I feel like reading out the Galatians passage again. I wonder if we could have it up, Rachel. Is that okay? I'm sorry about that. But these four verses from Galatians are so wonderful. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Four verses, and it's just remarkable, and Paul summarizes everything in that, I think. But before we unpack it, I wonder if anyone has a New Year's resolution that they wanted to share. They felt that they wanted to embarrass themselves. My New Year's resolution is obviously not shaving for the next next year. Don't tell my wash. My wife's not here, actually, so I can get away with it. I might wash, yeah. I'm going to do the marathon this year, so that's my New Year's resolution. Sponsorship form on the back for anyone that's interested. Anybody want to embarrass themselves or not? No, maybe not. Go on then, Sue.
I've decided to say yes more than I say no.
Very good, very good. Great, I like that. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, I'm glad there weren't too many, because I want to suggest, and that maybe my title for today is why we shouldn't have New Year's resolutions. So hold that in your thoughts as we go through and look at this passage today. Now, when Paul wrote these words in Galatians, he's writing to Christians in Galatia, but they are struggling. They're struggling to accept their identity. They're struggling to accept that they are acceptable to God. Paul's preached to them a lot about Jesus and who he is and what he's come to do, the good news, that they've become heirs of God's promises. However, there's a whole faction of other people around at the time who are not preaching the same thing. There are those around at the time who are preaching that these Christians who are Gentiles, not Jewish, need to do more. In fact, let's thank goodness, gentlemen, we're not in Galatia at the time. The suggestion was that they had to be circumcised in order to be part of God's people. That they had to follow and obey the Jewish laws in order to be part of God's people. They had to keep the Sabbath, they had to eat certain things and not eat certain things. A set of restrictions. Essentially, they were to become Jewish in order to be God's people. That's the background to this passage, and that's why Paul is so clear with what his message is. They couldn't have been more wrong. So in these four verses, Paul offers the good news. God has sent his Son Jesus to rescue them from slavery and adopt them as his children. And what kind of slavery is he talking about? Well, he's talking to the Jews, I think, and he's saying, you're in slavery to the law. And those of you that have received the message that is being said to you, this is for you. You're in slavery to the law. But it also has this message to the Gentiles, that they have been adopted as God's children. And what's the evidence of that? What's his proof? As a scientist, I like to have a bit of evidence somewhere. But his evidence is in the same passage. His evidence is that the Holy Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit is in us. And the Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Without the Spirit in us, we wouldn't be able to do that. And so the evidence is there. If we cry out, Abba, Father, if we're able to pray to God, then we have his spirit in us. The Galatians are living as if they are slaves. And God is saying, and Paul is saying, they don't need to. They've already been redeemed. They're already saved. Remember, they're already Christians. Verse 4, he uses the word adoption. And I think the word adoption just sums up the whole of the gospel, the whole of the Bible, really. God has adopted us, not through any merit of our own, not through anything that we've done, not because we resolve to be better people. He's adopted us because, and it's fitting that we've just had Christmas, because happy Christmas, it's God's gift to you. You are redeemed, you are saved, you are an heir. Just want to spend a few moments looking at that passage. The Christmas message is that God sent his Son to redeem those who are under bondage. And redemption means, in many places in the Bible, to buy out of slavery. And you can see why Paul is using this sort of imagery. It certainly would have appealed to the Jews around at the time, the idea of being brought out of slavery, being saved from Egypt. But what about the Gentiles? Because most of the people listening to him would have been Gentiles. But he uses this interesting phrase, the elemental things of the world. They're saved from that. Because they've been in slavery to that. They've been in slavery to philosophy, to anxiety, through the things around us, the fundamental things of this culture. And I suspect that's true of many of us, that we can, if we're not careful, be slaves to the culture, slaves to anxieties, even slaves on Christmas Day to what time we put the dinner on, how long it takes to cook the turkey. But Paul is saying, if you've chosen to believe in the name of Jesus, you are no longer a slave. You've already moved out of slavery. You've moved into the household of God. You are an heir and co-heir with Christ, as it says in Romans. Don't live as a slave any longer. The first couple of verses have so much of the central message of Christianity in them. Jesus is divine. It says God sent his Son. Jesus is divine. He's from heaven. But he's also born of a woman. So he's also human. And the very earliest doctrines of the early church were about who Jesus was and his divinity and his humanity. The fundamental nature of who Jesus was. Because you could say, in order to save us, Jesus had to be divine. He had to be fully God, because the infinite value of his sacrifice. But he also had to be human. Because it was mankind that had sinned, it was mankind that turned away from God, so it had to be a man to bear the penalty of that sin. But interestingly, Paul also mentions that he was born under the law. So Jesus himself was, well, Jewish, we could say, under the law, under the Jewish law, but also born into Israel, born into God's salvation plan from eternity, from the beginning of time. He was always part of that. But he was like us, born under the same restrictions, and yet he was not a slave. And next it carries on. It has this incredible, I don't know if you've noticed it before, I only noticed it for the first time this time reading it through. People often say Paul doesn't have a theology of the Trinity. It says that God sent his Son, but he also sent his Spirit. God has sent the Spirit of his Son. You can see it there. So not only at Christmas do we celebrate God sending his Son, so that we might gain the position of being sons and daughters. That's where he secured our redemption, by paying the price. He also sent his Spirit. Why did he send his Spirit? So that we can experience that redemption now. Because as it says at the end, through crying out, Abba Father, carrying out the same action that Jesus himself did in his intimate relationship with the Father. That's the evidence that we are children of God, because his Spirit is in us and enables us to cry out, Abba. And then finally in verse 7, the whole lot is summed up. That we are former slaves. We were slaves. We are no longer slaves. But we're now sons and heirs because of the gift of Jesus that we've just been reflecting on for the last week or so, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have access to God. We're able to call God Father, Abba, Daddy. We have that intimacy. And the Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. If you're able to pray, Abba Father, if you have that intimacy in your prayer life, that is your evidence. Hang on to that. And if you haven't got that, then I encourage you to seek it. Seek his Spirit. Seek that intimacy. In the next couple of months in the evening services, we're going to be looking at identity in our evening services at 6:30. So every Sunday in January, we're going to be looking at our identity in Christ, our identity as sons and daughters. And then in February, at intimacy. I encourage you to come along to that. Press in to know your identity. I wonder what this message would have meant in the culture that Paul was speaking to us. What would they have thought of when Paul is talking about the idea of adoption? Because in those days, sons would have inherited their father's wealth and so on. But if they were too young, they would have also had trustees. I guess a bit like if a member of the royal family suddenly became king or queen, they would have trustees. And I think part of what Paul is saying is that the law is like a custodian to a young person, a young man or woman who's coming to inheritance. That the law was only meant to be a custodian. There's nothing wrong with it, but it isn't the way to salvation. And if we're not careful, it can hold us in slavery. And that's Paul's criticism of those that were in slavery to the law. And equally, the Gentiles and us today, we can be in slavery to, as I've said already, the expectations of the culture around us. But adoption in the Roman sense was really son placing. It was the coming of age, a coming of full privileges. That's what adoption meant. And there's some really unusual ideas within the Roman culture that sometimes when a family had no natural heirs, no children of their own, they would sometimes adopt a slave. All the debts of that slave would be cancelled. They would start a new life with their new father. They'd gain full rights as a legitimate son. In the most basic sense, they had a new family, a new father. And when we receive Christ, we're receiving the terms of adoption. We're now the child of the one adopting us. We're not slaves anymore. We're now heirs. We inherit everything of that family that we are inheriting into. What does that mean? That's the fullness of heaven. The fullness of God's kingdom is our inheritance the moment we receive Christ. And so we can pray that prayer that we pray every day with complete confidence. Give us today our daily bread, and pray it knowing the resources of heaven are available to you. So why do we need to hear this? Well, as I've already suggested in terms of New Year's resolutions, there's no shortage of things that we think we can do to improve ourselves, make ourselves a bit thinner, faster, more acceptable to God. But I want to tell you this morning, Merry Christmas. There's a gift from God to you. That Jesus has come, that you are sons and daughters of God. There's nothing you can do about it to change that. So our adoption of God as God's children means there's no reason for us to live in slavery. In Christ we are children of God and full heirs of Him. Just imagine tomorrow morning or next Monday morning or later on in the year what it feels like to be a child of God. Just imagine what is that speaking into your life now. Imagine waking up every morning knowing you are a child of God. That nothing you can do that day will take that inheritance away from you. Let's not be slaves to the law or to the culture or anything else. So New Year's resolutions, okay, let's have them for a bit of fun or to annoy our spouse or something else, but let's not do it to try and make ourselves feel better or to make ourselves more acceptable to others or to God. Don't go back to a life of slavery. Because God has sent His Son to redeem us from the law and from the culture we live in. And God's gift to us is unconditional. Regardless of how well we live up to our own expectations or the expectations of others. In 2018, you do have a fresh start. But you've already had it. You've already got it. Not by your own willpower, but by the grace of God. In sending His Son, claiming us to be God's children, but also in sending His Spirit into our hearts. And it's a pure gift. And we can only give thanks. Our response is to give thanks. Give thanks for the gift that we have. And so I pray that you will live in that grace in 2018. I pray you will know how loved you are as God's children. Amen.